Blog Talk Radio.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Lord, deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me.
my mind. Good evening, I'm Dr. Lewis Davis. This is Marvelous Monday. I'm so excited to come before you. This is Talking Real to You. And we're just going to talk about this plain old life issues. So I'm so excited how God has loved me to see another day. As well as you all wanted me. You know, we got to give them the praise because, you know, this is my exit. I got to leave. It might be time. It might be the time. The song is said, you have to believe that he's going to deliver you. If you don't believe he's going to deliver you, then you have the lost cause. I'm going to say God is awesome and he's good. And as it is good today to come before your Father's Monday. Now, let's talk some real talk. We're going to talk about some things that are maybe uncomfortable to a lot of people. We're going to talk about it on Talking Real to You. I am the host, and I take pleasure in coming for you all the time when God is blessing me. This is a vision I had for years. I said, let me come before the audience and use all the social media I can. And we're being broadcast in three different ways tonight. We have Blog Talk Radio. We also have Facebook, and a lot of people joining me on Facebook, joining us and the team on Facebook, as well as Instagram. So we're rolling today, and we're so happy to have each and every one of you. Now, our topic for tonight is we'll talk about this plain old life issue, and we're going to touch on some educational issues, we're going to touch on some political issues, and we're going to talk about some post-secondary educational issues. And we're talking about finances to a sense, but it'd be focused on post-secondary. So we're really excited about having an opportunity. Let me share, as I just mentioned, to those individuals on Facebook, if you want to be a part of the Blog Talk Radio part as well as Instagram, you just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the Smith Way Production. And if you want to call in, you can call in at 347-857-4192. That's how you can be a part of Blog Talk Radio. If you want to go to Instagram, go to Dr. Lorenza C. Smith 15. And you can check us out that way. If you want to tweet the show, we have several ways you can tweet the show. That's Talking Real to You, at Talking Real to You, at Lorenza D. Smith 15, at Coach_L_Smith. You could be a part of this show in so many ways. We open the window, open the door. We open it up for you to be a part of it. So we're so excited to have you now. Keep in mind, Blog Talk Radio, the Smith Way Production, and this particular show is heard in 15 countries. We got listeners in 15 countries, including the United States. So you being on Facebook, you're a part of that. We appreciate you. Being on Instagram, you're a part of it. We appreciate it. On Blog Talk Radio, we appreciate you taking time. Just check us out, because we're going to just talk about plain old life history. We're going to get some real talk. We talked real talk last week. We're going to talk some real talk again with Dr. Lowe's show. When we're talking real, we're going to come back a little harder this week. We're going to talk about these uncomfortable issues for some people, but for others may not be. But we want you to be a part of it. Again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Real talk about just plain old life issues. And what I want to do is introduce one of our co-hosts that's joining us right now. It's a pleasure having this young lady with us. I'm so glad to have her. You know, she's been out in the battlefield, I call it. She's been in the same battlefield, in the same arena I've been in, and that's the educational. And she's a retired administrator at Adam Thompson. And she's held for the state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. None other than our co-host, Charlotte H. Black. How you doing, Charlotte?
I'm doing fine tonight and glad to have our listening audience with us. And also very happy that you have expanded the number of ways that the audience can access the show. So that is absolutely wonderful. You might need to adjust your mic, though, Doc. You're coming in and out a little bit. It may be where I am, I'm not sure, but you might just see if you need an adjustment.
Okay. And I think one of the things I have to share with everybody, I want to make sure my co-host's voice is heard, so I'm using a little boom box here. So that might be the problem. I might be a little far away from the box, but I'm back at the box right now, so hopefully you're hearing me clear. What you think,
Charlotte? That's good, yeah.
Yeah. Try to bring it to me so much. Now, we have three other co-hosts that's with me, and I'll tell you, the brand for this show is all the Father and Lord of Blog Talk Radio show in the country. And if the daughter was able to be here, she called me, she's sick. And I'll tell you, she's dealing with that a sense of pneumonia, a change of season, and she's been trying to go to work and do her job, but she's struggling. And she said, I got to get some medication. I got to get some rest, Dad, because I got to be in middle school. She works in middle school. So, Scarlett, you know about middle school. You better have all your energy and somebody else's energy as well.
I've done high school, middle, junior college, and elementary. So, yeah, you need it. And at this time of the year is when you start getting the little bugs, and you just have to let it work out of your system until you get immune to it.
Exactly. So she said that, Dad, I want to be here. And, yeah, she's a daughter. It's the only Father and Daughter Blog Talk Radio show in the country. So we're proud to have that brand. She won't be here because she said, I'm fighting it. I'm just taking the medicine. I won't be ready to go tomorrow because she just started the job about 3 weeks ago. So we want her to be on the job all the time. So thank you. I tell her that for sure. And she might be on Facebook listening, but I know she said, you know, every time I get to talking, I lose my breath. So she said, I got to make sure I take care of myself and make sure I'm on point. So I can be there to deal with our 11, 12, and 13, 14-year-old students in the middle school here in Montgomery, Alabama. But we give her a pass. Also, we have another one of our co-hosts, and I already got someone with a question, and I appreciate getting on there early, right and early. I appreciate on Blog Talk when you have a question from the start, but we're going to get it started up, then we'll address your question. Just bear with us. Other co-hosts. We have two others, and we'll give her the right shout out, and I know she's another one. I know this is the season, Scarlett, for being sick, because Dr. Smith called and let me know earlier that she had to go to the doctor, had a sinus infection, as well as her ears are bothering her. So she just, I just want to be popping and doing all that. So I want to, that's Dr. Olivia E. Smith out of Georgia. And she said, I'm going to do my best, but I tell her when you're not feeling good, don't try to press it because, you know, we love having you. We want you here because your expertise is good. It's awesome. But the bottom line is if you're sick and you can't do it, that's the way it is. We'll work with it. At this point, it'll just be Scarlett and I. If it's all right with you, Scarlett, we're going to make it do what it do.
Well, we make it do what it do.
Exactly.
As you always say.
As I always say, you're right. Last millennium, he's a millennium. That's Cameron Gilmer, and he's our expert on time to time. We put him on to make sure he get a chance to share his thought, but he hadn't joined us as of now, but he said he would make sure he touched bases with us. So we look forward to having an awesome show. All right, Scarlett, we're going to kind of get started. Our topic for tonight is real talk about just plain old life issues. We're going to focus on starting off on some educational issues that I think is relevant enough that we must talk about. Because if we don't talk about these issues and have a plan, like you take it block by block, we're going to be left behind. And the topic is to focus on discussion of the creation of these mini school districts. A lot of places people are developing school districts within a school district. Would it lead to more segregated schools and classrooms? Scarlett, I'm going to let you start off and share your thoughts on that, then I'll jump in and we'll make it move
forward.
Well, like
I'm not sure. Talk a little bit before that, before I start. Before I jump in, describe the school, the district within the district. Are you talking about like magnet schools, academies, things of that nature?
Okay, what's happening, a lot of counties, like, for example, it might be, I'm just going to give a county, I just said, Oswald School District. However, a particular city in there decided they want to break away from that school district within that county and create their city district, school district within that county. And we had that circumstance right here in central Alabama. There's Montgomery County, which is the capital of the state of Alabama, Montgomery, but there was a school district developed from that called Pike Road. It was a town, and they decided to start their own school, so they developed their district, a school district. And they kind of, a lot of the students that was out of that area that was attending Montgomery Public School no longer, because now they're in their school district, which was developed the last two or three years ago. also down in South Alabama, down in the Baldwin County, they're doing the same thing. And they're just moving forth. And a lot of these districts started from urban cities. When everybody that was in the urban city, they began to move away, like Jefferson County, which is one of the largest counties in in the state of Alabama. They, you know, they got Jefferson County School District. You got a Birmingham School District. Everybody heard of Birmingham, Alabama. Then you have the surrounding counties have their surrounding suburbs have their own district. So the thought is that if you continue to break away, which they got a right to do that if they want to, they think they can survive, you're going to create more of a segregated classroom and school within these districts that's considered to be the old district.
That doesn't work that way here. You just don't go out and create your own district. What we're having to happen in many states where they're creating charter schools inside the district, and the district funding that's meant for public school education, children in the public schools, they're draining dollars from the public school system in order to receive funding in these charter schools. So where they're creating districts, in other places like here, they're creating more and more charter schools. And basically, whether you call it the district within the district or our state law won't allow them to just go out and create another district, Greenville County Schools is a consolidated district. So we have over 100-some schools in this district, the largest district in the state. But, however, we also have a lot of charter schools, as in other parts of the country, you know, are having to just pop up, or, you know, academies or private schools. But the charter schools, again, drains dollars from the public school education. So we're having, you know, contend with that. And basically, whether you call it the districts within the district or charter schools inside of a district, the bottom line, let's just call it what it is, and this is, you know, talking real to you. Basically, what it is going back to segregated systems, because when you are draining dollars and you're going to charter schools and you can, you know, pay the fees or whatever case may be that you have to do, or private schools where you pay a fee, you're leaving the schools with mostly minority students and reduced funding. So basically, you know, if you don't want to go public school education because you don't think, you know, it's quality or whatever, or it's too many minorities in the public schools, then you create something, you know, where you don't have that situation. We're just resegregating all over again, you know, calling it by different names, but the results are the same.
Okay. And just kind of jump in right here and kind of go back, and I think that's what a lot of areas are doing. At one time we called white flight. At some point people of color flight too. We fly just as quick as they can too. It's like I'll use, for example, here in Montgomery County, where you was all one school district, you know, the city school district, then all of a sudden Pike Road was out there, part of Montgomery public schools. And all of a sudden they established their town. When they established their town with their government, they decided that they would have their own school. So the thing about it, you're creating a 99% population in certain schools in your urban area, in your metropolitan areas, and so on. So we're talking about whether or not this is good. Second, going back to segregated schools in classroom, because that's what actually happened. And this, add one more thing you were saying, and I want to kind of address it, even with your charters, not your charter school. I won't get on that one yet. That's a whole other ball game. That. On magnet school. I understand we have to have magnet schools, but when you start pulling, have your criteria set up, which those individuals go to those schools, no longer going and coming back like they will have a program. Now they actually have their schools in Montgomery. So you only have a allotted number. You might have 500 slots for those students. We got to say similar to what they're doing in other criteria. You got 500 slots, and a lot of times the majority rate make up all those slots. So you're still leaving those schools to be segregated.
And also the programs and some of the magnet programs and advanced placement programs in certain areas of the district, they may not offer those students the same thing, even though they are considered advanced programs.
Yep.
And you
exactly.
still have you have that problem too. You have you have a select number of slots, and everyone's trying to get the slot. And the criteria, leaves, quite a few kids that are gifted, even our gifted and talented programs, leave kids out because they're, people think of gifted and talented is just academic giftedness. But we have musical giftedness. We got kids that are gifted in so many areas.
Exactly, exactly. And that's one of the things I have no problem for you. They first came up with the idea of a magnet school. Go back, and it is magnet school, but when they started with programs within the school, we had a performing art program at one of our well-known schools, George Washington Carver, and that was back in probably in the 80s going into the 90s. And all of a sudden, one of the person that was over the performing part wanted to have their own school. So they was able to move to a building to have their own school. And then the criteria was set because I was assistant principal at that same school. So I know their criteria. Everybody's not going to get in. And most of the time, the ones that do get in, that leaves us with just our individuals over there that really need those individuals to perform at a high level to kind of look at it and say, I can do it as well. Now, we look at it a different way. But I do see it when you even doing magnet school and only limiting the number. And the one other thing I know is, here in this area is that for their career techno program, or it used to be where it was several schools that where you leave your school and go to it. You still do it a little bit now, they do it now, but you only have a certain number of allowed for that. If you only got 500 for the performing art, 500 for the academic, 500 for the technology, and 500 for the out of 30,000 students, that's not a whole lot of students given the opportunity. So I think that, if you want to create all these criteria and keep people out, you're going to hurt your majority of the young people that's left over in our traditional school. And that's what we're talking about, segregated classroom, be segregated schools. You could be a part of. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. What's your situation in your county? What's your situation in your state? What's your situation dealing with your school system? Is there a light? Is there a situation where they're creating in suburbs, suburban areas, they're creating districts? Because if they become a town, they can do that. And it's not, we can do a whole lot about it, but is it hurting our public school system? Or is it creating segregation again? That's what we're talking about. And again, you can be a part of it. It was a call.
Well, I have said often on this show, when we talk about these kind of educational issues, we have someone in the Secretary of Education. That is her goal. She is really a charter private school person. And anything that she has done to dismantle a lot of public education policies and procedures. Now, talking real, we do not help ourselves. When you don't go and check on our children, we don't check on and ask for the credentials and qualifications of those in the classroom teaching our children. When we don't go to conferences, we do not attend meetings. When there are issues and that need to be brought to the address the school board, we don't show up and let our voices be heard. Then this is when these types of things happen. I, too, was an assistant principal years ago before I became the principal of a school. I was in a magnet school for math and science. School was located in a low-income, predominantly minority area, but they were trying to make it a magnet to beef up the attendance enrollment in that school. And as a result of that, when parents would come, you know, wanting to enroll their kids in the magnet program, that we had, you know, the slots to take them, oftentimes they want to come during the day when they could see what the population of the school looked like. Now, what was that saying? That's pretty much saying that they thought that the school was going to only be strictly just for those kids in the magnet. Well, where were the other kids that lived in the community, where were they going to go?
Yep, exactly. Back over to the traditional school.
You know, so, you know, we had, you know, that's the kind of things we still, you know, you still have to put up with and contend with. And, you know, we don't speak out. If we don't expect, if we do not, and I'm going to use the word demand, because there's some that demand and they get what they need for their children. If we don't say anything, then it's said for us. And as we've said on this show many times, that, you know, there's not going to be the one coming on a white horse, you know, coming in trying to save us. We've got to do our part to save exactly. These systems.
Exactly. So we have to make a concerted effort, make sure that we keep our system up to par where we don't have these situations where everybody's just blocking away or running away from our school system, because if you knowledge system become, or these districts become a classroom, or schools become segregated classrooms and segregated schools. A lot of people are not going to put it. We can say what we want them. We can say everybody's going to be ready to say, well, and all that. Everybody ain't ready to do that. People just not ready. You're going to have to understand that a lot of things going on we must address, and we have to address in our community. We got to take it block by block, home by home. We have to do some things so we can make it more inviting for people not to run and take their children out of the school and put them in these other schools that they feel are creating these other districts. This is what we're talking about. You know, if we don't do something and just rely on someone to come as far as there on the white horse, we're going to still be complaining or concerned about the same thing. It's easy to blame somebody else for the reason where we are. Until we accept our responsibility that we need to do a little bit more to make sure it's not like that. And this is something we got to address, and you can be a part of it. The call in number is 347-857-4192, press 1. And I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask us to give your name, location, and your comments, questions, or your expertise. Scarlett, let's move to the next one, and I'll kind of read this one, then I'll kind of lead and you can follow in with the thought. Why should we fight to keep our public schools proportionally integrated? Let's keep it real. That's what we're talking about right now. Because when you start taking the money out of these urban areas, when people with income start going out of these areas, you will not be able to get the money. One of the biggest problems started, I tell you, right here in Montgomery, Alabama, is the reason everybody said the schools are not as successful. Some things that happen on personnel level, leadership level, but it's all about the 10 million. And for people who not understanding, that's 10 million that's put in place for education through taxes. That is the minimum amount that's required by any state of Alabama, any state in the legislature is 10%. And it's a tax on property tax that you vote on. All of the schools that are performing at the high level district, I'm telling you, they're paying 20-21%. Some of them are paying 25%. They're putting the money in there. But if you have a sense of mistrust, in some cases, have a sense of not being able to put it in, then people are taking their children out because they don't think it's being done. There's a lot of things that go on. And I can talk about this system, and a lot of people get upset with me. I'm sorry. But, you know, you have to make sure you put the right people in as your leadership in your board members. You know, that was a big like to have a big discussion about putting the right board members. You changed out three or four court members, but they still vote the same way. They're doing the same thing as the previous board. And I see people that on Facebook that are working in school systems, and you know they're doing the same thing. They were just elected. All you did was change their faith. And you're not getting anything done. Now, the question is, when we said property tax, we got probably one of the lowest property tax in the country in the state of Alabama. The lowest. And especially in Montgomery. In other areas, it's different. So the point is, until we can vote, and it's by vote, and apparently we can't never get it to pass, for some reason, they increased the 10 mil. We can't ever get it to pass. That's the only way you're going to help your school. What is going on? I was in a discussion with a young lady. A young lady told me, well, people that don't have property should vote on it. Come on, man. Why would you say that? So you don't want to vote on other issues either.
Well, this is why we should invest in education. And I will say here, because we're in the largest, like I said, the largest district in the South Carolina, and we have over 100 schools here. 70 schools were made brand new, and about 10 were renovated, modernized. So, you know, I'm lucky and I'm blessed that, you know, I was in this system and in one of the new brand new schools. They took an investment here, but it was a lot of work. It took, you know, years. But finally, a bond referendum passed, and people's property tax did go up, but didn't go up as much as they thought it, you know, would. But they just fell on the proverbial sword and decided that we got to invest in education. And in order to do that, do you realize if you ever seen children walk into a brand new building and
yeah.
how proud they are to be getting the computers, the technology, the books, all those things when they walk into that building, because it says to them that I care for you as a child and I want the very best for you. And that's what it did. And, of course, as a Zeta, you know, I had a lot of blue and white in the school. So,
exactly.
You know, that's just a little joke. But it was important for those children, all kids, to feel important and that their education mattered just like anyone else's in all these new schools. And that was
exactly.
A big project. And they did it in phases where so many would come online each year. And we had this brand new school. It was a $10.4 million building. That's a lot of building, and a lot of things that were good for kids. Now, in the lower part of the state, did that happen? No. You've heard about the I-95 corridor. I think many people have seen the movie. You know, crumbling schools, the rural areas where they have a lot of industry down there, a lot of tourism that comes there. We've heard about Hilton Head and all the building going up, you know, there, and property
mm-hmm.
values and all this kind of stuff. But they did not make any, you know, investments in building for children's education. In fact, recently, a district not far from where I am tried to get a brand new high school. High school is 60 some years old, crumbling. You know, a fire hazard. And, you know, they voted that down because it was going to increase their property tax bill by $10.
Yep. That's what's going on.
But if we demand things and got our voices out there and said, no, we want a new school, you know, a new high school for our children. You know, that's maybe how you feel because you don't have kids or whatever in school anymore. But this is how we feel. You know, we got to go block by block and got to get people to understand that this stuff is important. And it's not getting any better if we don't make it better.
Exactly, and kind of add, I'll tell a story of all of my years out there. You know, I had a lot of years in public education, so I can tell you some stories. However, you know, I was down in South Florida, 16 through 18, a couple years down there, and I saw the way their school, how they invest in Broward County in their school. They, you don't see an old school around there. You mm-hmm. see where they invest, but, you know, it's, you know, it's property tax is expensive. You got to be willing to pay. You can't just have a super budget trying to buy steak, and you can't do that. And I see all the schools, how they excel to be number three in the country, three, four, five. Their school system, Broward County, is number five in the country. You know, because they're investing. We're talking about just in South Florida. We're not talking about a whole area. It's an area. It's a big area. Man, because you got Dade, you got Broward, and you move up a little bit up on I-95 up there. But you got to invest. Now, I want to tell this story right here because of the story. And I kind of dealt with this. I was assistant principal at a school called Goodwin Junior High School. It's now the middle school. And in the summer, you know, the assistant principal be the principal of the summer school because they had summer school over there. So at the time, the makeup was probably about 60% white and about 40% black. And I was there, and we had one of the other schools on the west side, summer school, closed. Everybody kept telling me, and you're going to have a problem with them kids coming over here because, you know, they open the schools over there. And, you know, I people going to get a positive thought. Keep a positive thought. So we had about 400 in summer school. That's a lot of kids, 400.
Mm-hmm.
However, they brought about 200 over there. And they were supposed to be the biggest problem kids there was, but they were in summer school. When they came into that building was a little different than that building. The demand was a little different. Sometimes you make that point clear. Take children out of bad settings. School that, you know, heating system don't work like it's supposed to. Schools filled with floors that are crumbling and the foundation is not. And you ask them to go there and learn every day. And it just don't work. But if you walk into a new complex, things do change, attitudes do change. So I'll say for here in Montgomery County, you have four or five schools, you need to rebuild your school. Now, you ask me where I'm going to get the money. Don't ask me where you're going to get the money from. I don't have that. I had $100 million, I'll give it to you. But you have to do something where we can get the money to rebuild these schools, get these schools in better condition. Because there are, you got one school over 100 years old. Students still walking home. You got another school about 70 years old. Students are still walking to home. And if you take 100 years, that means that school's in existence. And, you know, go back. It's 2019. So that's 1919.
Come so you on, go man. Back a little further, it might be as old as the Civil War.
You
know,
you go.
Keep going back because some of these schools are just. They're dilapidated, and if we got schools and your grandparents went there, that's a travesty. It really is.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna be totally on the system. It's just not making change. They built several new schools. They're trying to make new get school get a one school which is a magnet school into another area, and then also purchase the old hall and then put. One of the magnet schools, as well as the Impact, which is their career tech. But we still have other schools that these students are coming out, and you want them to excel at the highest level, and they just can't. But back to my story about Goodwin, that when those students came there, we expected those students to be really not able to adjust, but they adjust. You put students in a little better setting and demand that they, and your certain expectations, whatever you expect them to do, they will do it. Especially when you follow through with your expectations on their end. And I'll tell you, they can. And I saw those students perform. We didn't have maybe one or two problems for the whole summer. The summer was 8 weeks, and those students went right back to their school where everybody said they weren't going to be able to make it. So if you take them out of that setting that you have in the 100-year-old school, 70-year-old school, 60-year-old school, and you still got individual units up in New Windsor, and you still got 100 women all over the building, which is that's not efficient. We know that's not what all these women. Then you still got same window panes up there. It might be this, but they still square windows, little square, little small square window pane. Come on now. We've got to do better. We got to invest our money in our schools. If not, it's going to continue to be segregated schools and segregated classrooms. It's going to continue to be, well, we won't have a proportionate amount of integration in our schools because everybody is flying away. They're flying away. They leave white flight, African-American flight. Everybody flies because they don't want to be in those schools. So that's something we want to talk about. Scarlett, we're going to kind of pick it up. We're going to move. We got a couple of topics. I don't get all the topics. We should tonight discuss why Bernie Sanders is the strongest candidate to beat Donald Trump. And I want us to share our thoughts.
I couldn't hear you going in and out again. What did you say?
Discuss why Bernie Sanders is the strongest candidate to beat Donald Trump.
Now, why was Bernie Sanders singled out?
Just one of the crowd. I just found that where some people put that out there that he might be the strongest candidate. But we want to share our opinion on it and see how exactly we say would he be the
well,
one.
Well, see, that's not my candidate, so I can't answer for Bernie Sanders. I mean, I could say a lot of things about that. I would just say this, and I'm going to rephrase it this way, if you don't mind.
It's fine.
I think that quite a few candidates would be able to beat Donald Trump. And I don't call him Donald Trump. In fact, I don't use his name at all. So I'll just say the occupant of the Oval Office and leave it like that, if that's okay. If
go ahead on.
We have got to mobilize and be motivated, self-motivated, to get out and vote. If my candidate or your candidate does not win in the Democratic primary to represent the Democratic Party in this election in November of 2020, and because that's not your candidate and you do not vote, we're going to run the risk of putting this man back in office. Now, everything that's been on the line and things that are out now where you're asking for foreign interference in the election to investigate your opponent, that's wrong. If you got to worry about whether or not you're going to have health care and it's going to be overthrown and everything's going to be thrown out, that's wrong. If you're worried about whether or not you're going to have an educational system, just like we got through talking about, because he's going to put DeVos back in there again, who's already dismantling public education and also mess with the colleges and universities and affirmative action, that's wrong. So there's a lot of things at stake. If you want someone who is a pathological liar, and that's how I'm going to term it, because everything, you can't believe what's being said. And we don't have a fake press. We have a free press. Whether or not I agree with the press most of the time or not, but it's free press. We don't jail the press. We don't kill the press. We don't do these kind of things. So if these things are just not good, if you can't trust what your leader says and your leader is a bully, and we're seeing children in the educational system mimic this behavior, what do? You get them out of office. If the global leaders around the world can't believe and don't trust the United States anymore, we got a problem. If the world leaders do not believe anything we say, if our water is still being poisoned, and just yesterday or last week, he signed an order saying that these oil companies and stuff can start dumping waste back into our water. Our water is no longer going to be clean. Our tariffs which is nothing but a tax to America, where you are paying more for things that you buy at Walmart and other places and for your cars and everything. This is what's happening. If you like the idea of children being caged at the border who are trying to seek asylum because of their parents wanting to seek asylum and a better way of life for them, then you put him back because it's going to get worse before it gets better. If you're on Social Security and Medicare and all these things are going to be attacked. He said that that would be his goal for 2020. And if you got all this corruption, you got, you know, women's rights, and filling up these courts with people who are against women's rights to choose, a woman's right to choose, and women's rights around this country, and they can't get contraceptions or things, you know, things of this nature at affordable care. What's happening to us and to our democracy where you think that you're above the law? If this is what floats your boat, then stay home because it certainly doesn't float mine. I am an American. I happen to be a black American, but I'm an American. And before that, I'm a child of God and I'm human. And I'm going to vote morally for what is right. And no one is perfect. We don't have any perfect people as leaders. We're not perfect people. But compared to what we have now, and the comparison between what we had, it's like night and day. So this is my reason for voting blue in 2020,
and
regardless of who it is, voting blue. And voting.
That's the key to it right there, voting. And the thing about it, regardless of how we get personally feeling about it, we got to get out of it. We talked about that in our local race as well. And honestly, we just have to just get off and quit sitting up here hoping somebody with a white horse. They're not coming. And we have to realize that it has to be a competitive situation. If it's not competitive, we're not outnumbering 88% of the country. They're not. We have to get up and get it going and have those individuals grow that way if they're not comfortable, because there's a lot of things that are going on that everybody's not comfortable with. But we got to make a decision, and it gets us to the next point. And the next point, and we're looking at a time, we're down about 12 minutes. And I'm going to kind of bring this one out started in regards to, is this that, and it's not going to be so much about the re-election of Donald Trump. It's going to be rural voting. One of the things that we heard in the election in 16 was about rural people coming out that never voted, hadn't voted in 8 years. And we know the reason why they didn't do it, because they are the majority race. You know why they didn't vote, because they didn't think there was a need to vote. But they came out in 16. So do any of the candidates that's running that's going to be possibly nominated on the Democratic ticket or even Republican ticket, whatever it is, need to go to the rural voters, talk with them, get them out, because they came out before, probably hadn't voted. We can say what we want, we can get upset about that all we want, but they still got a right to come out and vote every 10 years they want to, every 20 years. That's their right. We got to see, do we need to go to those voters? Do the party need to go and talk with those voters? Because in the end, I always try to share this with people, that when you're talking about the majority of the people, and it's not always people who serve the have all the have or consider the have of the top. There's a lot of people that have not, and the majority of them are the key to getting out the vote. So is it going to be the rural voters? Are those people in the back hill? Are those people going to make a difference in 2020? Is that where it needs to happen? If you're not getting to those, it's hard to remove this person. Can't get them as you don't get to those individuals and those like they said, came out in 2016. So you've got to get to the rural voters. But you can share your thoughts on that as well, starting in regards to the rural voters, whether they need to be reported, need to be a campaign to get out and vote to kind of turn this tide.
I believe in a 50-state strategy. I don't think you write anyone off. I certainly think you need to cultivate your base. That's what the other side is doing. That's why all these dire things are happening. You know, we got to get some, you know, get people that care about all Americans, this entire country, not just a certain segment of the country, because they feel, you know, maybe feel like, you know, certain people should not be in this country. Well, I believe in a 50-state strategy. We have people who are hurting in our industrial states. We have people who are concerned about clean drinking water, kids suffering from lead poisoning, things of that nature. We got the farmers, whether they voted GOP or Dems the last time, it doesn't matter. They're losing their livelihoods in the Midwest. Farms that can no longer sustain themselves, and we know about, you know, the black farmers in most of the rural areas in the southern states that lost farms and stuff years ago because of the prices and just the skyrocketing of what it is to keep a farm. And, you know, of course we know about, you know, our southern states. And we just got, you know, I just believe in a 50-state strategy in writing no one off. And no, you may not be able to convince everyone of your opinion or your the way you feel, but you can show them, you know, you're voting against your own interest. You know, because when health care affects all of us, you know, you live in a trailer park and don't have health care, it's the same as somebody living in a mansion and doesn't have health care. That's a universal issue. Education is a universal issue. Things like that. But yeah, I believe in a 50-state strategy, and I believe that you go in and you make the case.
Awesome, awesome. And that's what we're talking about. We'll talk about what's going on in the country and how you want to address it. Call that number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. Identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I ask you to give your name, location, and your opinion about what we're talking about on your expertise. Last thing we want to touch base on, we had 10 minutes till 9. And we're closing it out at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the East Coast area. Carla, we're going to look at the situation with the debt that we're dealing with student loans. They said the debt is an all-time high, $1.6 trillion. And what we want to share our thoughts about is in regards to possibly coming up with a free tuition plan. Is it possible that we can have a free tuition plan? And I would love to have that, because I know I'm paying back loans now, student loans, for when I was recently in school, and I have children that are recently in school, so I'm paying my student loans. So I'm a part of that $1.6 trillion. So do we need to come up with plans to make sure our young people are offered an opportunity, or people in postgraduate or second post-secondary have an opportunity to have free tuition plans? And I just think it's going to be up to Congress to make sure that Congress votes something in place, just like it used to be something in Alabama where you could put in a little small amount, but it's double by the time you got to college, but that disappeared. So my question, my thought is it possible that we can have a free tuition plan with our young people going to college, or even try to further their degree and further their career by going into the postgraduate program? Sorry, you can share your thoughts, and then I'll close it.
I think that one thing I like about the advanced the IB programs, the National Baccalaureate programs, and advanced placement programs is that earning college credit while you're still in high school, where you can help reduce the cost through those means. Also, vocational, we shouldn't forget about, you know, college is not for everyone, and everyone doesn't want to go to a private or public college or university. And that's a choice. We need to provide people more choices. And I am a firm believer in vocational education, career education, where you can go in and earn credits while you're actually doing internships or whatever on those particular careers or vocations. I believe in community colleges, and I do believe in having free or very affordable community college system. And then if you want to do your last 2 years or whatever in the four-year university program, whatever, you know, that's another choice. I believe in having these colleges to look to see what they can do to help reduce the cost that these kids are now paying and parents are paying and having all this debt that when they graduate. There's no reason why, you know, it's going to take you almost your entire life to pay back, you know, these college loans to go to college. That doesn't make any kind of sense. So there's a lot of things that some of these college and universities could do in-house, too, to reduce these costs. So those types of things, like I said, it's not going to be a one serviceable plan. It's going to be a plethora of plans and choices that are available to people who want to do beyond high school. But our first thing, too, that we need to have more choices in high school where they can earn credits to help reduce the number of credits they have to take when they do go to college or if they choose to.
Awesome. And that's what it's all about, having an opportunity to have a choice. And like I said, now, regardless, now they're changing vocational schools into community college now. So you're going to college, whether you're going to get a four-year degree, two-year degree, or you're going to get a master's, postgraduate, or you're moving to our, what we call a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
In leadership or whatever it may be, or you can look at a doctoral degree. It has to be some way that we can combat the cost of business. Another thing as far as that, it has to be, we have to exactly know what we want to do. Our colleges can and our state can help with this. First of all, we need to ensure that we have the amount that a person going to have to pay when they go to college, and it should be rising every year. You know, it should be getting higher. You think if you're going to pay $100,000 for your 4 years or 5 years of college, you're going to pay $200,000 because you're on the sliding scale. That's one thing we got to make sure we stop sliding scale, and that's going to be up to our colleges to make it clear to all of our individuals interested in going to college. Also, our state's got to invest more in higher education. They got to have that money to make sure that money is available. You know, a lot of states put things in place because they may have the lottery. You know, they may have, any form of gambling, your casinos. They may have other things, and they say they put money back in so we can help our schools, but besides help our young people go to college. We got to come up with, everybody has to play a part in this.
Well, we're also going to have these corporations to start paying their fair share. I think the day of, I know they need these incentives to come into our states and, you know, provide businesses that put people to work, but you also got to pay some taxes. I think we're at the point now, our debt has now grown to over $1 trillion. Well, who do you think is going to pay all this back? It's going to be us and your children, your grandchildren, and their children. You know, this is a lot of debt. And so we got to get these corporations to start, investing also in the public good. And then I'm going to say something that's going to probably be controversial, but I'm going to say it. In these colleges and universities where there's been mismanagement of funds and it's been a continuing problem, instead of passing this cost on to students and their families, you know, they're going to have to get their acts together and stop, this mismanagement and folks living beyond their means when this stuff should be going to these students and reducing their costs and that what their parents are paying instead of paying for, somebody's lifestyle. You know,
exactly.
I've said it because it's happening too much, and I'm tired of seeing it in the paper, and it usually involves folks that look like me and you.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that you come out when I went out of an early show. One of the individuals came out with that, but we was talking about sports at the time, but that came out about money being donated and not. But I'm gonna keep this thought that maybe we are putting it in the right place, forming foundation, stop operating in just general funds. This is not a public school, college. It may be a public university, but you need to be able to have foundation and earmark money to go where it's supposed to go. You start holding people accountable for money that's coming into these universities to go where they're supposed to go, and then when they're not handling like they're supposed to, then you have to deal with it. These are little smaller things, and I think we got to distrust our public. We don't trust those individuals, so we got to regain trust. We have to, and that's what it's all about. All right, Scarlett, I want to give a shout-out to our people that's on Facebook, online on Facebook, because we have quite a few, and I like you always give a shout-out for doing it. So let me run down the list, and I'll give you an opportunity after that to get the closing remark on your side, and I will make sure I do the same thing by closing the show out. We have Joey Townsend, Minister Hendricks from the Minister Shannon Show. We also have Stacey Thomas. She's out of South Alabama, attorney, and she's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority. Shout out. Yvette Smith, which is my biological sister, the youngest of the bunch. Lisa Lee Sherrod. I want to give her a shout out. We also have Jennifer Edwards, another one of my sisters. Appreciate y'all.
All right.
We have Denise Pace, and I know she's in Georgia, the United States Director, Denise, and she's over there in Georgia. We have Nicole Sharon Brown, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority. She's out of Mississippi. Ralph Ian Harris, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Give them a shout out. Ralph, thank you so much. We also have We have Mary Jane Pauley. She works at Alabama State University. I appreciate her. Everybody will give her a shout out. Delta Sigma Theta. I give her a shout out because I know she's on the second floor, in the first floor of my building where I work at. Stacy Williams. Stacy, I'm so glad to have you on. Stacy, Stacy's my niece, and I appreciate her joining us. Sierra Washington. Thank you so much. Sophie Russell. Monica Chain McCary. Mike Powell, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity out of Gainesville, Florida. We're so glad to have you, Mike, out of the state of Florida. We have Charlie's Angel. We have her over here. We have Shannon Williams. I'm going to give her a shout out to a member of Delta Sigma Theta, as she's locally. And we have Marcella Belleville. We have her as well. And I'm looking, trying to see. I'm trying to see at the bottom. She might have a little blue down on there, but I want to give a shout out. It's not clear. I just can't see it clear. Brian Coleman, we used to work together out in Lowndes County before I retired, and he's a head basketball coach down there, Brian. Lacey Smith, that is my youngest daughter, my baby girl, Lacey Smith. She's working, and she's on her head well. Appreciate it. Tim Tillman, thank you so much. Miles Brown, one of my former football and basketball players down at the Kansas School, and also he served as the principal of that school right now. Jay Ruth, another one of my relatives, my niece. Thank you, Jay, for joining us. Another one of our frat brothers here, Renard Jumpstar Smith, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Dr. Karen Davis, joining us. I looked out of here. She's another Alpha Kappa Alpha warning. I give her a shout
all
out.
All right.
She knows Marina Smith Jones, thank you. Sandrika Edward, my niece. She's a member of Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Octavia Williams, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, one of my former junior high football players, back many, many blue moons. Tiffany Davis, another one of my niece. Thank you, Tiffany Davis. And Andre Brinswing Brinson, a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity. I have to give you a shout out, Andre. You know, your night set Brinswing is awesome. A Friday night is off the chain. Check them out. Brinswing on Bell Road. Those are the individuals that's checking us out on Facebook. We had an awesome night. We had some hot topics, and we had some real talk. I'm going to turn it over to Scarlett and her close it out in her manner, and then I'll close it out, and we'll be done, and we'll be getting ready to get to the next show on Wednesday night.
Well, for those that joined us tonight, Facebook, Twitter, phone, however you joined us tonight, we thank you. We can't shout the ones out. We can't see the names, but so glad that Doc shouted the names out. This is really a wonderful Greek letter community. We're all in it together. And for those of us that join us, just know that we're in some turbulent times, but, you know, there are good times also. Even in turbulent times, you always look for the good. And we're going to be okay. But again, we thank you so much for joining us, because every time we come on, we're talking real to you. And as Doc says, and we say all the time, we're taking it block by block, house by house, person by person, to discuss some really top issues, hot issues that are affecting us not only here in this country but all over the world. We didn't even talk about climate change yet. I'm sure that's going to be coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we thank you again for joining us, and just know that we love you and we appreciate you.
Awesome, awesome. And sorry, I appreciate you joining and the other folks on joining when they get over here sick. And the weather's beginning to change. We get to the fall. A lot of times we're not adjusting well because of the dryness of air, especially here in Alabama. It's been so hot, 106, 105 on the heat index. So a lot of people trying to make adjustments to the fall. And part of the staff, our team is part of it. We're glad of it. And I have one more individual, and it's a relative of mine, a cousin of mine, Justin Smith. He's joining us as well. So we have a host of people joining us. It's good to be able to be a part of Real Talk, talking real to you. And we want to share these topics. We want you to share your opinion. Have an opportunity to call. On Wednesday night, we have our Boys of the History of the Black College and University, and high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States, talking Sports Plus. Check us out. We have a preview show at 7 o'clock. It's all good. We're excited. My hashtag is keep on grinding. And, you know, and also communicate our understanding. And last but not least, I'm playing a song that I started at the show off, and I want you to hear it again, because, you know, God needs to deliver me and deliver you as well. I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night, and we will find the show.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister, Leandria, here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do.
It is so. Amen. Now, when we pray, we want to end that with a declaration, a decree. So I'm speaking for all of you listening, starting here, starting now. The things that hurt you in the past won't control your future. Starting now, this is a new day. This is your exodus. You are officially released. Now sing it for me, Leandria.
I know the music was getting awesome. I love it. I love it. But we had additional persons join. I want to give them a shout out, brother Crystal, Karen Jones. Thank you, Crystal, for joining us. It's awesome to be a part of it. I don't know why to the music, but we